This week's interview is with Wolf Hoffman of Accept. And Wolf, it's great to be able to speak to you again. And I have to tell you that I really, really like Stalingrad. I think it's a great record. And I guess for my first question for you now, Wolf, is what is Accept doing right now? What do you guys have going on? You just have a new album called Stalingrad, which I really, really like. And talk about what the band is up to right now.
Right on. Yeah, man. You just said it. We have a brand new album out called Stalingrad. And it was released in April, and we've been touring with it in Europe, and now we're just getting ready to hit the American market with it. So, very exciting. The tour kicks off in about a week from now, heading through the East Coast into Canada, coming back into the U.S., so, you know, with several months of touring ahead of us, it'll be exciting.
Now, I named the album Stalingrad, and, you know, talk about the significance of the title and you know, basically what this record's about. You know, it kind of reminds me of the World War II battle, I guess, and maybe talk about why you named the album Stalingrad.
Yeah, man. We came across the story of the Battle of Stalingrad, and we were just intrigued by it. What a horrific and fascinating story it is, with all its gruesome details. But in the end, we decided to write a story that sort of just takes place at the Battle of Stalingrad, where two dying soldiers comfort each other in their last moments on this earth, and it's really the moment when they realize they're more like brothers than actually enemies, you know, and that's why we have the subtitle, Brothers in Death, but really it's all playing at the Battle of Stalingrad, which was kind of the turning point of World War II, and like I said, one of the very most gruesome battles in history, I think. And, you know, we just loved it because it was a fascinating story. And this album is not really a concept album by any means. We just have a collection of songs that have, you know, some interesting stories to tell.
Now, I have to tell you that when the last two records, in my opinion, are the two best albums you guys have ever put out in my book. And I've liked the band for over the years for quite some time. I own all the albums. And I have to say that when Blood of the Nations came out, it was hailed as a great comeback. People were talking about, oh, this is one of the greatest metal records ever, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, one of the things that really stayed in my mind, Wolf, is that I kept thinking, you know, this album is good, but, you know, give this lineup a little bit of time, and I think the next album is going to be a lot better. And, you know, case in point, I really like Stalingrad a lot better than Blood of the Nations. And, you know, I think Mark Tornillo was a great guy as far as a singer, and he's got a great vocal range. And talk a bit about working with Mark and what it's like to work with him and what effect he's had on your songwriting. Because I'll tell you what, you guys make a great team. He's a great guy to have in the band. And just talk about what effect Mark has had on you, your songwriting, and the band in general.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you have to understand, when we met Mark, you know, you said it, we didn't really know him. I mean, we met him, we liked him, we loved his voice, we loved his attitude, everything about him. But it was sort of unproven, uncharted territory at this point. You know, we'd never been on stage together. We just went to the studio, made this record. You know, we thought it turned out great, but really the proving or whatever, the testing period was still ahead of us, which is when you go on tour and when you go in front of the, you know, the audience, which is a lot of times your most critical element in all this. And but, you know, that worked tremendously well. I can't tell you how well it worked. I mean, I think this is actually the best chapter in our career that we've ever had, just because Mark has been so well accepted by the fans, and we have more energy than ever. So, you know, that really brought us together as a band more than anything. It's just being on the road for all these months and months and months. We've done so many shows that we really feel like, yeah, we're like a band of brothers at this point. So going into the studio for Stalingrad, that obviously had to make a difference. You know, we kind of know each other better. We know what fans want to hear, and we know what to concentrate and what to focus on, and the result is Stalingrad.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Wolf. This is the first Accept album that really just made me stop what I was doing and just stare at the computer for a second and really think, you know, wow, this is a really, really great record. And I think a lot of it had to do with your songwriting. And number one. And number two, I think you guys, you just grow as a band over time. You guys, you know, obviously Herman hadn't played in a band for a while, and then you obviously have a new singer. And I think that really, really helped with the songwriting, because I think the overall songwriting of this record is a lot better than the last one. And to me, it's almost like, you know, Accept has entered a brand new era in their career, and I could just see this going and going and going without a hitch. It's just, Stalingrad is that good of an album, and that's how strongly I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we like I said, we're much more focused now. We knew exactly what we wanted, which is a big, big plus. You know, we knew what we didn't want to do. We didn't want to really change anything. We just set out to make a follow-up album of Blood of the Nations. That's exactly a song along the same lines. Without, you know, we didn't want to change any member in the whole band or family. You know, we kept the same producer, same everybody in the band, and we just wanted to do more of the same. And I think that's why this album came out the way it did.
Well, one of the things I've noticed about this band is that you guys just seem to have so much fun on stage. And as many people may or may not know, the music business is a very, very brutal business. It's a very hard business to get into. But you seem to still want to do this, even after 30 plus years. And what has kept you in this, Wolf? I mean, why have you kept doing this for so long? And why do you keep coming back and wanting to make music?
Man, it's the joy of being on stage, of being in front of an audience. And there's nothing else in life that I have found that gives you a similar thrill. You know, if you get out there and you start a song and people recognize it and they cheer you up and the fists go up in the air, there's an energy in the room and on stage and a vibe that you just can't describe. And it's really a feeling like nothing else in life that I've come across. And that's why we are coming back to this stuff. It's really addictive in a way. So it's really about that energy on stage, and you always try to capture that in the studio, but really the studio and the stage are almost completely different animals to me. Both have their own strengths and weaknesses and their own characteristics, but to me it's always about the end result of always being on stage, what happens there and what happens when you know, we actually play that material live. So that's what it's all about to me.
And, you know, we are in the era right now where bands just do so much studio trickery that they cannot duplicate live what they do in a record. And you guys, you know, from the YouTube clips and from seeing you live and everything like that, you guys seem to be able to duplicate live what you do on the record. And in some cases, and even in some of the shows that I've seen and some of the ones that I've heard and obviously seeing you live before, I really think that you guys even sound better in my book than you do live. And you come from an old school group of musicians where you had to play and practice.
Thanks, man. Well, it's certainly a different energy live, obviously. But yeah, like you said, we're definitely old school. We're back from the era when bands used to spend years and years in a rehearsal studio just to hone their craft and to just get better. That's what we did. As you know, in our teenage years, we didn't go on parties and we didn't do any of that other, you know, we just didn't hang around. We went into our rehearsal studio and loved what we were doing. And, you know, that's how you get better over time.
Well, what was it like for you, you know, coming up? You came from an era where this stuff was brand new and everything was new. And when metal really started getting popular, you guys really came up through a time when it was all brand new. And talk about,
it wasn't even called heavy metal back then, if you can imagine that. I mean, it was called hard rock when we got started.
And what was it like being a part of this music, being a part of coming up through this heavy metal scene, you know, back late 70s, early 80s, and really you ended up being a huge part of this scene and being a huge influence on many people. And what was it like for you to be a part of that?
Right. Yeah, man, it was awesome. Of course, while all this is happening, you often don't really realize all this stuff. It's only looking back that you said, oh yeah, gosh, I guess we were some of the first bands to do this kind of stuff, and I guess we started this and we've been part of that. It's while it's happening, you don't always get a sense of all that. It's kind of bizarre. You just sort of go through your everyday stuff and you do what you're doing and you're enjoying it, but you don't really get a sense of history in the making or any of that kind of stuff. You know, it's bizarre. It just sort of happens and it feels right, and it's only the
Did you ever think growing up that when you formed Accept and you guys started playing together and this band really, before this band really started taking off, did you ever think, wow, you know, did you ever think people would ever come up to you and say, wow, Wolf, you are one of the most biggest influences, I mean, musically ever?
Hell no. I mean, I was always hoping we get to that point where we are professional musicians. That was our big dream back when we were teenagers. You know, we admired all these bands that were popular back then that were touring worldwide. And, you know, we had our idols and our influences. And, you know, I remember seeing Queen and Deep Purple and all these bands as a teenager and thinking, like, wow, wouldn't it be cool one day if I was on a Nightliner and if I was, like, touring, you know, going from town to town and, you know, make a living that way. Wouldn't that be awesome? So we did everything we could to make that dream happen. And, you know, just the thought that you influence other musicians, I mean, that is the highest honor of them all.
You know, a lot of people obviously will ask you, you know, oh, what are your biggest influences and stuff like that. But, you know, I have a question for you, and that is, are there any bands today that you're really into? If I were to go hop into your car and pull up your iPod, what would I find in there? What are you listening to right now as far as music goes?
Man, Mozart right now. It's bizarre. I'm a classical music freak. I don't really listen to a whole lot of current stuff, to be honest. I don't know. It's just, I have really more of an interest in classical music that relaxes me and stuff. And, you know, we play on festivals together with so many other bands that I, you know, kind of get a glimpse of what everybody else is doing, but I can't really say there's anybody out there that's a huge influence on me or, you know, that I have to have in my collection. It's just, I don't quite honestly follow a lot of that stuff anymore. I just, because it's bizarre when you're a musician, you do what you're doing yourself, but you don't necessarily look left and right all the time. And, you know, especially if you found your style. I mean, we've been doing this long enough that we know what we want and we don't really look for outside influences, quite honestly. And, you know, but a lot of times you absorb stuff without you actually knowing or being aware of it, you know. So you can't always, you know, rule that out, that there's some influences in there, but not knowingly anyhow.
You found a second career as a photographer, Wolf, and talk about getting into that. I know you're really big into it, and it was something that you did after the band initially had disbanded. And talk about going into photography and how you ended up getting into that.
Man, that started when we were hitting the road back in the 80s. I was just documenting places we've visited. I was, you know, we were going to all these exciting places for the first time. You know, I was in my early 20s, and I just wanted to sort of document touristy stuff and backstage scenes with the band and, you know, just to keep memories. And people always commented on the fact that, wow, these are cool photos, you know. So I was always encouraged by my wife and other people. And, you know, that so I kept doing it over the years. And it developed into some sort of obsession over the years where I got into it deeper and deeper. And, you know, when we took a long, long break and when we had several years where we weren't actively in the music, I decided photography is my next love in life and my other passion. And so I dedicated all my time to it for a number of years. And so I became a professional photographer for over 10 years. So, and I'm still, funny enough, I'm still doing it. When I'm back home and I have time off, I still do my assignments because I love the fact that I have two careers and it's a luxury that I cherish.
No, 30 years now, you guys have accomplished quite a bit. You've done so much over the last 30-plus years. Wolf, if you had to pick something you're really proud of, if you had to go look back on your career and say, hey, this is one of the things I'm most proud of, what would it be? And, you know, would your longevity have anything to do with it?
Wow, yeah. I mean, just the fact that we are, you know, still remembered and that we have you know, several of our songs, namely like Balls to the Wall, for instance, has been, you know, named as the, you know, one of the best metal riffs ever, one of the most, I mean, there's so many awards or so many categories where it was placed, and, you know, that alone is, I forget all this stuff because I'm not very good at details, but I know it's been listed very high on a lot of these polls, basically, you know, best metal song ever and all these kind of things. So just to be part of
the music business has changed quite a bit, obviously, since you started. But if there were any young bands out there and one of them asked for your advice, what would you say to them? What advice would you give to a new band starting out today?
I'm not even sure that I'm qualified to do that just because the music scene has changed so much, you know. Certain things are always going to be true, but, you know, the business model, man, it changed so much. So I don't even know what to tell a young band nowadays, what they should or shouldn't do. I just know one thing that's always going to be important, and that's that you know your stuff, that you can your instrument, and that you find your style. So I would say, if anything, maybe worry less about the image and the marketing and all this other stuff. Maybe worry first and foremost about your performances and your songwriting. That's, to me, a lot of bands supposedly, from what I hear from other producers and such, they just sort of get a laptop and they, you know, they make a record, but nobody's ever even played together this stuff live before it, you know, is pressed into a CD. So that's kind of scary in a way.
Mm-hmm. It is scary because there are bands that what they do in the studio, they can't even come close to duplicating live. And on top of that, they make themselves sound like they're better players than they actually are because they just don't practice like they used to back in the day.
Well, yeah, because it's so easy nowadays. You know, you can do just about any tweaks and you can fix just about anything in Pro Tools or all the other softwares that are out there. It's scary. And funny enough, a similar thing is happening in photography, you know. You know, that digital, that's a sign of the digital age nowadays, that a lot of people lose sight of their actual craft.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I noticed, too, is that even in photography, like you just brought up, is that we live in the Photoshop era, which means that, you know, oh, we'll just fix it with Photoshop. Who cares if the lighting's right the first time? And we can just go Photoshop and edit it. And, you know, obviously, you know, back then, back in the day, you couldn't do that. You just had film and went into the camera, and there was no such thing as Photoshop.
True, man. A lot of time you have that attitude, you know, but I'll fix it in the mix. It's going to be fine. Just take the picture and run, you know. But
yeah,
I remember the days when you couldn't do that. So you had to get it right in the camera or while it was happening. You couldn't fix anything after. It's kind of hard to imagine nowadays, but it's hard to imagine a day before Photoshop or before Pro Tools. I mean, but those days existed, believe me.
Well, yeah.
I sound like I'm like 90 years old now, but it's not really that long ago.
Well, I noticed the bands who have been around a long time like yourselves are the bands that I really like to go see live because many people just don't have the live presence that people like you guys have. I mean, many new bands just don't have that presence. They haven't mastered their craft yet, and they're boring live, whereas people like yourselves and bands from your era are just so much better to watch live and even better live than they are in the records.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So, you know, we definitely stand for that old school era here, and that's, you know, we're enjoying every moment of it. Pretty awesome. So I'm really looking forward to hit the road again with this new material, because I think we're going to, you know, I can't wait to throw some of those new songs into our set list, and I think people are going to be happy that we do that. I think a lot of people are waiting for that new material to be actually hit, you know, to see it on stage and to hear those new songs.
Let's talk about the reception of Stalingrad, because I thought that Blood of the Nations was good, as did everybody else, and everybody kept saying, man, the band's not going to be able to top this. But me, I kept thinking to myself, you know, the next album's going to be a lot better, which I think it is. But Blood of the Nations was set the bar very high, and, you know, how did you deal with that, and what's the reception for Stalingrad been like?
Well, very similar to what you said earlier. A lot of people thought, well, after Blood of the Nations, how is there any way that they can come up with anything that's, you know, equal to it, let alone better, but, you know, there's a lot of people who say this album is even better than Blood of the Nation, so I think we did something right. I'm very relieved about that because the pressure was definitely there, and, you know, we knew that. We knew that people were just, you know, hoping this album isn't just a lame, quick follow-up, you know. So we really asked ourselves again and again and really put the whole album, you know, through the ringer and really made sure we can deliver the best we can possibly do in the time that we were given. So the bar was definitely set pretty high from our perspective.
Well, and as I've told you before, and I've told the listeners that I really thought when Blood of the Nations came out, I thought it was a good record. I thought it was a little bit overhyped because I kept thinking to myself, you know, with this lineup being back together, the next album is going to be so much better. And I was right. You know, even some of the listeners have called me and said, yeah, you know, I like Stalingrad a lot better. And, you know, but let's talk about the other person behind the scenes that nobody's really talking about right now, and that's Andy Sneap. And what was Andy Sneap like to work with on these last couple of releases?
I think Andy is a sort of a next generation producer. You know, he's more in line with his background is producing thrash bands. He's done a lot of bands, a million acts over the years, so he's got a tremendous experience on that front. But the good thing about him is he's got that aspect of things, but he's also been a lifelong Accept fan. So he literally grew up with Accept being one of his first albums, or maybe even the first album. He's still telling those stories when he skipped school to buy, you know, Restive and Wild in a vinyl version or a clear vinyl or whatever came out then. And so he grew up listening to this stuff, and he knows the band really, really well. And that combination is just perfect. And besides, he's a great guy, and we get along just perfectly. He feels definitely like one of the guys in the band at this point. So we love working with him, and I think he's got the perfect balance between the old school knowledge of Accept and the new aspects, this new genre. Well, I would call it the Pro Tools generation, you know. So, and those two, we bring that old school songwriting aspect, and he gives us that newer kind of sound with his approach of working, and that combination is just dead on.
Do you have any last words? You know, we're going to end the interview off here, obviously, but do you have any last words for any of the fans or anyone out there who's going to be checking this out? Any last words for anybody as far as this interview goes for the fans?
Yeah, man. Well, too bad we're not playing in Cleveland this time around, but I remember Cleveland being an awesome place to play. So we hit it last year. It was awesome. So, yeah, man, looking forward to seeing everybody on the road. I'm glad people are enjoying this new record, so I can't wait to meet everybody on the road.